My name is Don McTagg. I'm a comic book artist, and you are listening to We Got the Geek.
We Got the Geek is recorded before a live studio audience.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Geekly Session.
Woo!
And we're at our apartment.
Yay!
Sarah Jane and myself, Jay's too.
That was my crotch. Oh, my sister. Sorry. No, well, actually.
Do we have that in?
No, we
so
leave that in.
Here with us. As you heard in the background, the savior of We Got the Geek is here, Terry.
In my defense, the cat clawed my crotch. I'm sorry.
That doesn't make it sound any better there,
no,
Terry.
No.
Okay, we were trying to play with the Never mind.
And also, from Sketchbook Comics, here in my own residence, so excited, we have Jeff.
Hey.
So first thing I want to ask these guys, because Sarah and I couldn't come up with a name for it. Do you guys have any suggestions for what to name this residence when we're recording? She wouldn't go for Stew Cave.
No.
Stew Cave sounds weirdly dirty.
Right?
Like, it really does.
That's kind of what
she said. I
don't know
why, but it does.
Stew Manor didn't hold
MacGyver
up.
MacGyver seems to be checking out Terry's forehead right now.
That's a pretty decent forehead, so, you know.
Oh, now he's licking her eye.
Kitty kisses. Oh. I don't know. The
yeah.
TARDIS is, I mean, like,
was
the first thing that comes to mind, but...
Been taken.
Oh, I tried to mix that with your name, and it came up as the stewardess.
Oh.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
Ooh.
No, I got nothing right now, man.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But the Stew Cave is definitely wrong.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. And how about that other exciting news this week? Greatest reunion of our generation, the Spice Girls.
You can't be here without Posh, right?
Yeah.
Posh is making too much hand over fist cash.
But what did she ever do for the Spice Girls?
I don't think she really ever did anything in that group.
Okay, but Backstreet Boys are making a new album and touring next year and coming to Toronto.
Yeah, but they want like $300 for their tickets.
That's for only certain sections,
oh,
so
okay.
I have to double up.
Is the one Backstreet Boy who had the one eyebrow back?
They're all back.
Okay.
So Unibrad is back.
They are all
good.
Back.
Good.
And I may have screamed yesterday.
Was that Lance Bass?
No.
Was that NSYNC?
That's NSYNC. Why do I know that? And 98 Degrees is coming somewhere.
Are they opening for Marty Bentall?
Oh.
Alright.
Alright. I was just kidding about the Spice Girls.
Okay.
But they are.
I was not
but they are.
About Backstreet Boys.
No, she wasn't. Anyway, I'm going to ask you guys this because I don't know how I feel about this. So they're making a Loki TV show with Tom Hiddleston.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think everything that I've heard about the TV shows for the MCU are terrible ideas.
Yeah, like that Winter Soldier one. And
yeah, I unless you are going to do a Winter Soldier TV show, that is, man, it's going to have to be far and above Daredevil and that stuff. When it comes to the violence levels.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Winter Soldier has to make them look just silly for that to work as a TV show. Loki? Holy Christ. That was one of the highlights of Infinity War for me. You know, I'm done with that character in the MCU.
I love Tom Hiddleston. I know, you're giving me that
I
look.
Really like Tom Hiddleston.
I love
but
Tom
I'm
Hiddleston,
done with that character.
I think he played
yeah.
Loki well, but yeah, like, I didn't hear the news at first. I have Tom Hiddleston on Instagram, and I saw
right.
his little, like, post, like, Loki, we have more stories to tell, and I was just kind of
yeah.
like, no. Like, I was really hoping his death actually, like, meant something in Infinity War, because, you know,
yeah.
here he is, like, sacrificing.
Yeah.
It. And if they want to do, like, prequel-type things, I'm like, no. Like, honestly, unless you're going to be able to pump out Daredevil level, because I will admit, I am behind on Netflix shows, but I have yet to see anything even remotely similar to Daredevil level. Like, Daredevil's
amazing. I love Daredevil.
Yeah.
Like, we still have to watch season two.
Three. Yeah, it's two.
Season three. But I'm like, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. And I mean, what's it going to be like if you have to pay Tom Hiddleston to come do TV? You have to pay him this much each time? Like, mm-hmm. what? You know what I mean? Like,
And one of the things, too, one of the problems with the Netflix shows was, from what I've read, how true it is up for debate, of course. But one of the problems was Netflix wanted to cut back the seasons to, I think it was 8 or 10 episodes, something like that. And Marvel kept saying, no, it has to be 12 or 13, whatever it currently sits at.
Why beat a dead horse?
And my thought was, when you even season one of Jessica Jones, which I loved, I still thought was probably 2 episodes too long.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, some of them I feel the same way about,
watching
too,
watching Cage, I only got halfway through season one of Cage. And I, as much as there are things about it I liked, sadly, it wasn't Cage. I still felt like it was drawn on. Like, just being dragged on ridiculously. The only one that ever felt like it truly flowed perfectly through all of its episodes was Daredevil.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if you went and really kind of finely looked at it, you could probably carve an episode or two out of that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But for... So are you going to really do a Loki TV show for 12 episodes? Are you really going to do Scarlet Witch? Or, as she's actually known in the MCU, Wanda and Vision for 12 or 14 episodes or whatever it is? I honestly don't remember the exact numbers.
I didn't see, so...
But they're one of the ones that they're talking about doing the TV show for. And, quite frankly, what was interesting about Scarlet Witch in those movies?
Not a lot.
I think Marvel just doesn't know when to stop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think
so,
too.
And that's their problem, is they're like, oh, money, and you know people are going to watch this, and you know it's going to, you know, like, get money in. And I think that I don't think they have the decency to just, like, stop, you know what I mean? Like, Iron Man needs to go away. Like, you've done enough with him.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like, nothing against Iron Man, I just feel like the character is done.
Yeah.
You know, like, Loki is done. Thor... Fucking hell, should just be done at this point.
Like, give him the next Avengers movie. I have no problem with them being in that. But after that, I'm okay with no more Robert Downey Jr. He's a great Tony Stark, don't get me wrong. But having the MCU revolve around that character doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
And the other show, it wasn't just Winter Soldier. It's Winter Soldier and Falcon. Which I don't like. I don't like the idea of a Winter Soldier in a buddy comedy.
And shouldn't one of those guys, like, go on to be Cap, too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who knows?
My expectation is he will, but...
I don't know. I'm just afraid that Marvel will just... And that's why I've lost interest in Marvel over the last couple years. Like, they just keep going, and they're not...
And they're churning out formula.
Yeah. It's formula, and it's... Yeah, people go and see it, but to me, it's like, I don't get excited to go see a Marvel. We were literally just saying, I totally forgot about Ant-Man and Wasp.
Yep.
And I liked the first Ant-Man movie.
Yep, me too.
But
I really liked
the
first Ant-Man movie.
Glazed over because Marvel's pushing out like 3 movies a year now that I'm like, I don't even care.
Yep.
That being said, there's still some good movies. Like, I liked Infinity
War. Yeah, I liked Infinity
War
too.
Black Panther, but for me, it's just... Like, I'm looking forward to Captain Marvel. It's just all...
Yeah.
See, Captain Marvel, I watched the trailer. I was like, I don't care. I just don't care.
I just want to see Marvel do a female-led movie after
Absolutely.
Wonder Woman came out.
That
and
is,
just kind of see how that goes.
That is so, so beyond... Should have happened already.
Oh, God, yeah.
My problem with Captain Marvel is they're coming out going, she's our most powerful hero in the entire MCU. Okay, well, this movie takes place in the 90s. So, where was she during the invasion of New York? Did you guys just be like, eh, it's bad. Not that bad. We don't need to call her. Clearly, Nick Fury had the ability to.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, there's some sort of explanation in her movie for why she wasn't available for, you know...
Yeah, exactly.
...the alien invasion that they had to throw a nuke through a black hole in the universe to stop. But... Yeah. It's crazy, you know?
I don't know. Wonder Woman's one of those movies that I can watch every day.
Yeah.
And I still walk out being like, yeah, time to, like, do shit. Whereas,
wow.
I'm interested to see.
It is, though. It's I'm the same way with the Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah.
I know people rip on them. I love the Fast and the Furious movies, with the exception of number two and Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
The rest, I love. But, and when you, when I stop watching those, I just want to get in my car and drive like an idiot for hours. Just absolutely tear my car around. And I don't drive anything like those cars, but that's what I want to do. And that's what Wonder Woman does. You want to walk out and you want to just beat hell out of people.
Yeah.
And get a lasso.
That's all. And I don't
walk out of Marvel movies jacked up.
Like, oh yeah.
But you don't walk out of a Marvel movie like that.
No.
Like, it doesn't have any more. I shouldn't say that because it's not like it didn't used to.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't walk out of them feeling that way anymore. Yeah. Like, I just don't. I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't.
That being said, I'm pretty sure I'm going to walk out of Aquaman being jacked up. But
I'm really excited for that. I watched the first trailer and I was like, man, I'm done. I'm not watching any more trailers. You got me. I'm going.
Same.
Not like I wasn't going to go, but Jason Momoa. But
there's a line running through my head that I'm just, and I'm not saying it.
Oh, I know. He said, he's like, I'm jacked up. I'm going to go see it. I'm going to go. And I'm like, I got comments to say that I'm just not going to say.
Nope. On a podcast. It's just better not to.
It's rated not PG-13.
No.
Oh, jeez.
No.
But, like, we missed Ant-Man and Wasp.
That happened. And it wasn't bad.
But, yeah, like, we missed Ant-Man and Wasp. There's four people in here that read comics. Some more than others, but still, there are four of us here that
I
read
know
comics.
Who you're all about.
None of us saw Venom.
No.
And it's not like Venom's a bad movie because people are loving it.
I dig Tom Hardy, too.
And I love Tom Hardy. Like, love that guy. But I still didn't see it, and I'm not in any hurry to. I'll watch it when it hits Netflix or somebody loans me a DVD or whatever. This, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But not in a hurry to. Like, yeah. The Netflix TV shows, I'm like, yeah. I think we're kind of hitting that. Or maybe we've passed it already, that kind of saturation point.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's so much of it, you just stop caring.
Yeah,
I hit that point a while ago. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's taken us forever to get through Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Because it's terrible!
We haven't even tried.
I won't even watch it!
We've got, what?
Three episodes season two.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched Jessica Jones season two yet, though. Like, I'm behind.
See,
big time.
I liked it, but it was so terrible.
Not as good as the first
season. I've heard that from everybody.
Let's be honest. The thing in season one that really, really kept you coming back wasn't Jessica Jones.
No.
It was David Tennant. Kilgrave. It was David Tennant.
Absolutely.
He was amazing.
He was brilliant.
The biggest disappointment of the whole show for me, because I loved that first season, wasn't even his death. It was that ending where
it
was constantly Cage fighting her because he's strong enough. And I'm like, really? This guy has been brilliant through this whole thing, and now his response to her is, oh, by the way, I'm controlling your big, strong friend so that you can fight somebody. I'm like, he should have had a better... There should have been a better ending to that. Somehow.
Yeah,
it seemed very anticlimactic.
It did.
Where he was like, Jessica, stop. And she's like, oh my God, I can't listen to it anymore. Snap.
Yeah.
I was like, come on. You didn't need to do him dirty like that.
I
liked him so much, I thought he should have been in one of the movies.
Oh.
I love David Tennant, so.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
The movies are god-awful at villains.
Oh, yeah.
But holy crap, did they knock Kilgrave and Kingpin out of the park
on those
TV shows. Kingpin is phenomenal.
When people ask me, if they ask me what my favorite Marvel villain is, I always say Kingpin.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one that made me go, oh!
So good.
Yeah.
And he's one of those ones, because I feel like a good villain, if a villain is just evil for the sake of being evil, it doesn't have the impact on me. Whereas Kingpin really thinks that what he's doing is for the better of the city.
Yeah.
And to me, that's kind of like, that's what the villain should be, is they think they should be doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens to be the wrong
thing. Look at Kingsman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Samuel Jackson as the villain in that first one is right.
Me too.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like, he's not wrong.
No.
Everything he wants to do is kind of what we need to have happen. In a weird way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yes, kill off a whole bunch of people so that the planet can survive.
Thanos.
Yeah.
But where it's, I got this idea from.
Yeah. Sadly, it felt a lot like that. As I kept thinking, did Nick Fury tell you this plan? See, he had it in this other movie. But, yeah, but their villains are so dull most of the time. I mean, there have been a couple of good ones, but...
Malekith pissed me.
Oh, he's got
the hell off. You read his comics, he chops off Thor's arm, wears it as a scarf for weeks.
Oh, I think longer than that. So long.
And then you have, oh my gosh, what's his name? Eccleston.
Yeah.
What's his first name?
Christopher.
Christopher Eccleston playing Malekith. Like,
and you tank it completely.
It should have been fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And
it sucks. It's like
people
the,
forget about that movie. And
yeah, it's like the villain from Doctor Strange is Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen has about the same amount of screen time in Rogue One and is a thousand times more interesting. And it comes down to the writing.
Mm-hmm.
With Marvel, their mentality is it's all about our heroes, our villains are just plot devices.
Yeah.
That's what their money is.
I can't even think of one that I really, really liked. Like, everybody got jacked up about the Red Skull's return in Infinity War. I was like, who cares?
I got jacked up because I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a nice little surprise. But at the same time, I'm like, it's not even the same actor.
No.
No.
I'm like, whatever.
Oh, hi, Kitty.
Okay.
I dug Keaton in Spider-Man Homecoming.
I haven't seen Homecoming.
Still haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it.
That being said, I just don't like Spider-Man, so I really was not
like
Spider-Man.
That's true. She does not like Spider-Man.
No, because he's just, in my opinion, Spider-Man is so overrated and just overdone. And to me, it's like, nope, I'd rather focus on other characters. Nothing against...
Tom Holland?
Tom Holland,
no,
he's great.
He's
awesome.
He is easily the best Spider-Man we've ever had.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you and I have talked about this, Jay, but I figured out what my problem with Spider-Man in the MCU is.
What's that?
They write him as a sidekick.
Yeah, we did talk about this.
He's completely written as a sidekick throughout everything.
Right.
And people are like, well... In Homecoming, they undo that. For those of you that are listening, it's Jay checking his messages.
I didn't mean to. I put it in my pocket. It went up.
But no, he's still a
even
sidekick
in Homecoming,
Homecoming.
They're like, oh no! Like I've had customers and stuff tell me they're like, no. Homecoming erases all of that and kind of changes him to Spider-Man. I'm like, but then they just erase that and turn him back into a sidekick in Infinity War.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's written as a sidekick. All the time.
Yeah.
Because he's a kid.
Yeah.
Spider-Man has never been anybody's sidekick.
No.
Yeah.
And it bugs me that he's written that way. He is, it's just, it's not who he is. Never has been.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. I think it's a good time to throw in a Sketchbook Comics commercial.
Woohoo!
We'll be right back.
And now... A word from our sponsors.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek comic book needs.
This is no man's land, Diana. It means no man can cross it, all right? This battalion has been here for nearly a year, and they barely gained an inch. All right, because on the other side, there are a bunch of Germans pointing machine guns at every square inch of this place. This is not something you can cross. It's not possible.
So what? So we do nothing?
No, we are doing something. We are. We just... We can't save everyone in this war. This is not what we came here to do.
It's what I'm going to do.
All right, we're back at Not the Spook Cave. the lovely Jeff and Terry.
Aw, and Sarah.
And Sarah Jane.
You could call it the Love Grotto.
Ew, stop.
I was trying to find something that felt dirty and gross, like Spook Cave.
And you're doing a hell of a job.
Okay, that's like a lot less PG-13 things.
Yeah, how about I don't know.
I love you guys, but not that
the
way.
The stew grotto?
Stop.
Oh, you've just made it worse.
Just quit while you're ahead, please.
No.
Oh, boy.
That's all things that she said.
Wow. Wow.
Case of justice. I don't know.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Wow. I missed something. I got lost in translation.
Sure, made some less than PG comments.
Oh, probably.
All of which you can hear by just listening to the podcast with Jay posted.
Oh my god. Anyway.
I'm glad Terry's already on the floor. She's a ball on the floor.
Yeah.
From laughing.
I'm too tired for this.
She can't breathe.
Continue.
So I haven't seen you in a while. Comic-wise, what have you been digging lately?
I've been motoring through Chew from Image.
I remember.
I just finished Volume 3, and I am... Volume 3? Yeah. No, sorry. I just finished Volume 4 and started Volume 5. So I've gone through 3 and 4 in probably the last few weeks. Man, I love that book. It's just taking me forever to read it because time-wise. But I really love that book. If you haven't read it, I strongly recommend you do. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it yet, but I also want to read Farmland. That was written by Guillory. And he draws it as well because he's the artist from Chew.
Oh, cool. Sarah's finally started to read Domino.
Man, it's about time.
The trade just came up.
What about Vampironica?
No, still haven't.
I'm really behind.
Spoiler.
Comics.
Veronica's a vampire in that one.
No!
She's teaming up with Jughead the Hunted next year. Hunger? Hunted? Hunger.
Jughead the Hunger.
Yeah.
But how can she team up with him in Jughead the Hunger? I mean, spoiler alert, Veronica's a werewolf.
I don't know.
Wait. In Jughead the Hunger, she's a werewolf?
Yeah. None of the horror books are connected.
Okay.
All the horror books are separate. Because they have all... Like in Archie... Afterlife with Archie... I don't even... Well, Jughead's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a zombie.
He's a zombie. And I don't know... I don't think Veronica's dead. I think Veronica's still alive.
I can't remember.
But...
remember.
No, Veronica... Yeah, because when that series... last came out 3 years ago. Archie was getting married to Betty.
Yeah.
And Veronica
and
wasn't
then in Jughead the Hunger, he is Jughead's a werewolf. His whole family is a line of werewolves. And Betty's is a bunch of vampire is a bunch of werewolf hunters.
Oh jeez.
Archie's kind of stuck in the middle between his girlfriend and his best friend.
Right.
And excuse me. Reggie and always classing it up. Reggie and Veronica are evil werewolves. Like Reggie is out slaughtering people type of thing.
Oh, that's not
good. Oh, like
that's
in
not to say there aren't other ones
right.
that do the same. Hey. And then stop clapping on the podcast.
She's excited.
Vampironica, I haven't read, but I'm guessing, you know, Veronica's a vampire, and probably some others too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mm-hmm.
And
sorry.
Then Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is completely separate too. So,
although
all completely unrelated.
I think at one point Sabrina had a vision of Afterlife with Archie in that book.
Though. Oh, did she?
Yeah.
I kind of figured it would be disconnected, but
yeah.
I don't think they actually are.
Speaking of Sabrina, have you watched The Chilling Adventures?
I have not. Terry has.
I have two episodes left.
Okay. I've watched every single episode. I finished it.
Yes.
Coming from a witch, loved it.
Yeah, I have two episodes left. I have 9 and 10.
And she hated the comic.
And I hated the comic.
The Chilling Adventures comic?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I hated the comic because I think at the time when I was reading it, I was still on that, you know, whole persecution thing.
There weren't enough vampires and werewolves in it?
Well, yeah, I was just... Well, no, because as a pagan, it's like, we don't worship Satan. Please stop calling witches Satan worshippers.
Yeah.
Because
fair enough.
We're not. But now, and so over time, and I watched it, and I thought, you know, it's a work of fiction, and I get that now.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I I like the actors in it. Sabrina, the actress who plays Sabrina could be a little,
less bland.
Oh, geez. Sometimes.
You know what it is? It's, you've heard that the baby from Nirvana, Nevermind, is coming to Niagara Falls Comic Con, and you realize he's clearly the Satan worshiper, because he's made a deal with somebody to have some that sort of career based around that.
Apparently, yeah.
So,
oh my god.
The witches, it's all
no,
forgiven.
I think so far, it's not one of those shows that I felt the need to binge. Like, trust me, when I find a Netflix show, I binge. I don't leave my house.
You should
like
see her
days.
With RuPaul sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
whereas Sabrina, it's I've been like watching it over a week.
Yeah.
And it's more or less like I have it on when I'm doing homework.
Yeah.
I like it, like it's really nice. It's
I
just,
love Michelle Gomez in it.
And Belky's in it.
Missy?
Oh, yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. He plays
I did
the,
not
he's
know
the principal
that.
Of the school.
That's hilarious. Okay, getting back to
comics.
You had asked me what I was reading.
Yeah.
I've been reading Batman and Nightwing pretty heavily with the whole Nightwing gets shot storyline.
Oh, right.
Spoilers. I'm kidding.
It's the basis of the story, so it's really not spoiling anything.
I know. I just like to know.
And he's not Dick Grayson anymore, right?
No, now he's Rick. Calls himself
uh-oh.
Rick now. you could just hang on to it.
Yeah.
That's not where he's alone.
As MacGyver tries to tear Terry's hand off.
Here.
What else have I read recently? The new Hanna-Barbera DC crossovers, the Yogi and Deathstroke one was fantastic. The Nightwing Miguel Gorilla one was really good. The Huckleberry Hound Green Lantern one was just really a Green Lantern story. He was kind of pointless in it.
Maneater has me actually reading comics again.
Yes, it does. You've been reading Maneater from Image.
Yes, that one's fantastic. It's about girls who get their periods and turn into giant cats and kill people.
Interesting.
I actually he put it in front of me and I was like, oh, okay. Read the first issue and was like, I want more. And I haven't had that for a while, so every like week I'd be like, did Maneater come in? Did Maneater come in? And I went to go help him with the order and I saw issue 2 and I was like, yes! And I...
She
like,
just sat down and read it.
It's like, nope, sorry.
No, like, that's one of the first books that's really, like, gotten me back into it.
Oh, that's
then,
cool.
That sounds cool.
It's blowing up, too. Like, it is...
Wow.
More and more interest in that book as it goes.
Huh.
And I was talking to the one customer about it, because he got it, and I was saying I really enjoyed it. He goes, yeah, people keep saying that it's, like, it's really feminist. And I'm like, I don't understand how, unless the fact that it's about... girls getting their periods.
It's about girls getting their period, and it's written by a female writer and possibly a female artist. I don't remember for sure.
But I'm like, but at no point is it ever like female power, men's like literally, it's about this one girl specifically realizing that she's getting her period and that this might happen, and then you kind of see like what's happening outside of her world and just like the rest of society. But it's, I love it, and like the little like ads they have for it, like get your girls tested, it's the right thing to do, and blah blah, like it's just the advertisements are brilliant. It's just it's such a good comic.
Sounds interesting.
I suggest that one.
No, like I said, it's really it's a book that's it's only two issues
I was
in.
Gonna say, it's only two issues in, and
but
I'm,
it's picking up steam for
it.
Sure.
Yeah. Alright, I'm gonna have to check that out.
The Green Lantern was weird.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I kind of skimmed through it, and I realized that it was definitely Grant Morrison weird, as opposed to Grant Morrison less weird, I guess.
What?
I think what it comes down to is...
Oh, yeah.
I think what it comes down to is that Morrison is always weird, but sometimes his weird lines up with your weird... And so everything makes sense. And sometimes it doesn't line up with your weird, and it makes no sense at all. What else has been good lately?
Couldn't say.
I read a little bit of Spider again.
Stop!
I don't like it as much as the last one.
I find it boring. I feel like it's just Spider-Verse being retold.
Yeah, but slow.
Very, very slow.
Issue 3 and they're still recruiting.
You don't want to hear, like, talk about your parents.
Yeah. And I don't... the ladies might be drunk.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand the need to make Dr. Octopus the superior Spider-Man.
Oh, that sucks.
I just don't get it. Nobody... I understand that they're trying to find another Spider-Gwen.
Oh,
I get that. I understand that, you know. But they've probably should throw in, with all the little spin-offs and stuff, man, they've got to throw in at least a dozen...
Right.
Somewhere between a dozen and 20 new types of Spider-Man from different worlds, if not more, at the wall to see if any of them really pop, and none of them stand out. The only one that I thought was super cool was in Vault of Spiders number one. It's the last story, and it's the Savage Spider-Man.
Okay.
And it's a Peter Parker who was raised by spiders, which sounds insanely stupid, in the Savage Land. And it's like a 6-page story, maybe 8 pages. I don't know. It's a short story, but it was really cool. It's the only one that I was like, man, I'd love to see more of this, but it's written in a way that doesn't really lend itself to more, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Which is too bad, because he was the only one that I thought, yeah, that's really interesting. You know, I think the biggest hype that I've seen at the store from it is the fact that the PS4 Spider-Man is in it.
Yeah.
And it's just Spider-Man. Again, nothing different about him except he's got a different costume. One that I don't think personally makes any sense with a giant white spider on it.
But oh, yeah.
What are you going to do? But on the whole, I find it very slow.
It is.
Yeah.
Isn't it only 5 issues?
But yeah. We're 3 issues in.
Yeah.
They're still recruiting, and there's only 2 issues left, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't really explain that. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
No, it really doesn't. I was super excited to read it, too.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's very slow. Very slow. What else is Marvel even doing right now?
Nothing good.
I'm trying to think.
No, that's not true. I'm actually digging Captain America right now. Which is interesting, because I don't like the same writer on Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a fan of his Black Panther stuff at all, but I really like what he's doing with Captain America so far. And I thought he was going to get very political, just because of who Coates is in real life. And I thought we're going to see that reflected. And from what I understand from people, Black Panther has a lot of that to it, a lot of politicalness. And so I fully expected Captain America was going to get a healthy dose of it. And if it's there, it's on a level that I'm not picking up on, and I'm okay with that. But, I like Captain America from them. I think the champion story is neat right now, where the champions are kind of like in a D&D world.
Oh, okay.
And like Ironheart is wearing like a suit of armor, like chainmail.
How have you not shown me that?
There's only 2 issues of it out so far, and it's like issue 25 and 26 or something like that. And Spider-Man is like a thief type of thing with knives.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, from that aspect, I'm like, all right, you're doing something kind of interesting here. But Marvel has some stuff that I'm reading.
I'm actually really liking the regular Amazing Spider-Man series right now.
A lot of people are. A lot of people are. I haven't read it myself. I read the first issue and thought, meh. But, yeah, a lot of people are digging that. Which is good. I'm glad to see Spider-Man getting something... like, getting some recognition. I find it interesting that as soon as Dan Slott left, boom, people think the book got interesting again. And I think it just goes back to that 10 years. Like, 10 years is a long time to write one character.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think it was probably time for him to move on right after Superior Spider-Man, probably.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen that way, and now people are excited because Spencer's on it.
They were just
sitting
there talking.
Cool. We're going to take another break. And what the hell? Let's run another Sketchbook Comics commercial.
Sure.
What?
I like this thought.
I become an old woman. I put slippers on.
We'll be right back.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek and comic book needs.
And welcome back to the Geekly Session with us.
All of us.
All of us. I know what I wanted to ask you guys. I don't think I've ever asked. We were joking a little bit about different podcasts before we started tonight. Who's been some of the ones you were like really excited to meet over the years at these shows?
Well, we all know Terry's.
If you've been around for a while and listened to anything else,
real life Peter Griffin.
Yes, definitely nailed it. My fave. Jason Momoa may have caused me to cry a little bit. Aww. In the best way possible. He was announced, and I was like, "Well, guess we're going to Fan Expo." And I managed not to squeal in his face.
No.
I did squeal afterwards.
No.
Yeah. It was pretty great.
For those of you listening, Sarah's not scolding Terry for her choice of Jason Momoa. She's scolding a cat.
Yes. Yeah, so I have a picture of my celebrity crush and my real life crush on each arm. I'm quite content with myself, and yeah. I mean, I think he was probably the one that I was most excited for.
I don't blame you.
He's a beautiful, beautiful soul.
I think it was probably the one you were most excited for, yeah.
And then I met Ryan Hurst in Hamilton Comic-Con. Yeah. That is one beautiful man, let me tell you.
Cletus' son?
Cletus' dad.
Cletus is...
No, Cletus' son, you're right. Cletus is his dad.
That's right.
To say, yeah.
He is beautiful.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
I purposely, like, okay, so I asked to hug him, and he's like, "Of course, sweetheart." And I was like, I hate when people call me sweetheart, but he did it, and it was beautiful.
He's okay.
And then I almost asked to touch his facial hair, but decided that was a little inappropriate, so...
My friend Becca, when I was in the acting program, she has a thing for beards. And when we were in New York City, we went to the Empire State Building. And one of the guys...
This is going to be an interesting story, because there is nothing about the Empire State Building that screams anything to do with beards.
I'm all about it. Keep going.
No, I'm getting there.
Yep.
But one of the guys that worked there had this amazing beard, like Ryan Hurst's beard. Ugh. And she has a thing for beards, and she was like, "Excuse me, but, yeah, I have a thing for beard. Can I touch your beard?" And he was like, "Sure." So, we got pictures of her, like, just grinning from ear to ear, touching his beard.
That's what I wanted to do with Ryan Hurst.
Does she frequently molest people's beards?
Yes. Yeah, wow. But she always asks permission first.
That's how Sean and I became friends.
Like,
yeah, that's
shout out to Sean Lafferty.
Yes.
I remember that guy.
She always asks permission.
Fair enough.
If they say no, she's like, "Okay, I just love your beard." And if they say yes, then, all right.
Full on beard massage.
So, you know.
Yeah.
For any of you listening, Jeff has some nice facial hair. And
he has a beard.
He has a beard.
Reed Richards.
He has a beard, and I am 100% to blame for that. Because I love it, and asked very, very nicely.
And I want to just give a shout out to Becca Caney for that.
For molesting beards.
For molesting beards. Starlight,
crazy,
he didn't do anything. Okay.
Any other guests?
One time I shaved, and Sarah didn't like it.
Oh, no. He looked like a 14-year-old boy.
I tell Jeff he can shave.
I don't see that at all.
Oh, my God. He looks horrible without a beard. Not horrible.
Horrible. God awful.
I tell Jeff he can shave.
How long have you been married now?
7 weeks
today.
7 weeks and horrible without a beard.
Not horrible, no. But just, no, he looks better with facial hair.
No, I tell Jeff
that's how
can.
You put it.
There you go.
Not you look horrible. Not, or as you put it, he looked horrible without a beard.
So. But see, the thing is, I've seen his high school pictures, and he's handsome without the beard. But I just prefer him with the facial
Jeff
hair.
Jeff had a goatee, and it was not a pretty look for him, so.
It worked for me at the time.
Your mullet also worked for you at the time.
I love the mullet.
The mullet never worked for me. Never. Didn't work for me in any capacity whatsoever. The beard was growing, or the goatee was growing for a reason at the time. I was trying to sell expensive things, and I looked too young.
And it changed that, so I looked older enough that I could then get people to buy these expensive things.
I tell Jeff that he can shave anytime he wants, but then anytime I hear the razor going, I kind of, like, freak out a little bit. So.
Any other con guests?
Oh. Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm definitely missing people. I just can't think of them.
I cried when I met Carol Spinney at Niagara Falls Comic Con.
It's good you met at that one and not the Hamilton one.
I went over to just say hello to him at the Hamilton
not
one,
in great
and
shape
no,
there.
He really wasn't, yeah. And it
it's
just broke my heart.
Yeah.
It really did. But Niagara Falls, he was talkative and bright eyed and just healthy. And Hunter and I got to meet him, and I didn't want to cry, but I wound up crying anyway because it was part of my growing up.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Jesus from Walking Dead. He had pretty blue eyes when he came into our booth that one time.
True.
You guys met Jesus from Walking Dead, too?
Yeah.
I did not. I was not at the booth.
You got to meet Hillary from Fresh Prince, though.
Oh, you lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think she enjoyed that as much. I don't even remember what I said.
I was
going to
say, I don't think I've heard this story.
You ended up insulting
her. Basically
so
insulted her without really trying. Yeah, I don't even remember what I said now. It had something to do with the attendance or something like that for her. But either way, I don't remember. I honestly don't remember now.
My conversation with Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio.
That's exactly how it's pronounced.
I thought my sister was going to strangle her when she came back and said, I met that guy over there. What's his name? Ralph Macchio? My sister loves him.
I told him I thought he was great in How I Met Your Mother.
Ralph Macchio.
Macchio.
I don't even know who my favorites would be.
What was it like when you met Wopat?
Quick. Like, it was. I met both Tom Wopat and John Schneider at the same time twice.
Was that the one that was pooing while you were peeing?
What? No. Who was that? I forget who that was now.
It
was in Hamilton.
I only phrased it that way because that was the Facebook status.
That's
I
right,
just
that's
read
right.
Blah,
I
blah, blah.
Don't remember.
He was
no, I said
that.
No, it was. I don't need to meet him now. Because he was.
I was peeing.
Stop.
I don't remember.
Like
together.
It was the other way around. I was just peeing.
Oh, the other way around. I was like, wait, you were pooing?
No, Sarah said that. Sarah got it backwards.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't remember who that was now.
Oh my god.
That was the same year that the one weird celebrity guy that was in the kid movies.
Was it Ralph Macchio?
No.
Not Ralph Macchio.
The kid who thinks the government's conspiring against him to try to kill him. He had, like, the angels.
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
No, the Stand By Me.
River Phoenix?
No, he's dead.
Oh, my God.
Kiefer Sutherland?
Samwise Gamgee or whatever?
No!
Stand By Jerry O'Connell?
Jeff, he's like a big guy, and like he's a small guy. He sings. He's got a freaking song. Recently, your sister met him.
I got nothing.
I got nothing either. Benny K.
Was it Burt Ward? It might have been Burt Ward.
Oh,
I did that status.
Thank you,
Corey Feldman.
Oh, Corey Feldman.
He's yeah.
Yes, that name is very familiar. That was
Burt Ward.
Well, you were peeing.
It was Burt Ward. That's what it was. It was the 1960s Robin.
He was pooping.
Oh, jeez.
So anyway, I was talking about Tom Wopat and John Schneider. I met them twice. Actually, one year after another, but it was at the casino. They're still going and they keep making me laugh.
They were doing. They did a show at the casino 2 years in a row.
Oh, cool!
And afterwards, they would sign autographs for me. So the first year, they signed a picture for me, and I had them sign my ticket. And then the second year, I brought my General Lee, and they signed the General Lee. But it was quick. Like it, I talked to like you know, you get a couple of words in, but everybody's there to see them. So it wasn't. It wasn't anything more than like I don't know, 15, 20 seconds. So it was really quick. Cool.
That dinner with Steranko was cool.
The dinner with Steranko was really cool. Butch Patrick was actually really cool, too.
Cool.
Meeting him with my daughter was awesome because he was amazing with her.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I met him there, but then I also watched him do his panel at Hamilton Comic Con with Ryan, actually, hosting it. Oh. And that was really good. Like, He had some good stories to tell and stuff like that. But I don't know. I can't think of anybody else who really, really stands out. I mean,
Michael Rooker was fantastic.
Yeah, like I've met a lot of people, but nothing that really kind of jumps out. Like Eliza Dushku was super cool, especially because there was a weirdo in front of me and a weirdo behind me.
Oh,
and I was like,
dear.
I'm going to make sure she doesn't remember me because of these two bookends. Because I'm going to be the normal guy.
Yeah.
So I just went up and said hi and just kind of left it at that and gave her my name. And then she was the one making small talk with me. So it was actually pretty cool. So I don't know if it was the fact that, you know, the douchebag in front of me just... She was like, oh, God, a normal guy. When I got there and so was talking to me and could see the weird dude behind me. So she knew I'll just talk to this nice guy right now. And then, you know... I'll be quiet when the weird guy comes up in a second.
Yeah.
Lee Majors, he was nice enough, but again, super quick. You know who was very cool? I met him, but it wasn't me getting his autograph or anything. Was, damn it, now I've lost his name. He was a really old guy. Drusilla on Buffy the Vampire Slayer was his daughter. Walter Matthau? No. I'm confusing it.
Jack Lemmon?
No. It's all right. It slipped my mind. I can't think what his name is. But he was amazing. Like, he was talking to my sister the whole time. They were talking about, like, when different actors, Christopher Plummer is one of the ones they were talking about.
Ooh.
And doing stage in Toronto and stuff. He was amazing.
Wow.
And the only reason I was there is I had stood in line for her while she was in line, I believe, for Freddy Krueger. For Robert Englund.
Okay.
And this was at Fan Expo years ago. And then she came right over and got in line, and I just stayed with her. And then when her turn came up, I just let her walk up, and I stood about 3 or 4 feet behind because I was like, she's the one paying for this.
Yeah.
But even after they talked for a few minutes and she went to walk away, he actually called me over and like introduced himself to me, which makes it even worse that I can't think of what his name is right now. And asked me my name and stuff and shook my hand, and it was really a cool experience. Because I flat out said, I'm like, I'm her brother. I was holding her space.
Yeah.
And he was amazing. He was really, really cool.
Terry.
Unfortunately, the only movie I can think of right now that he was in is probably one of his worst movies, which was the Ready to Rumble wrestling movie with David Arquette. He was the guy who trains them. But he played Bela Lugosi in the movie where Johnny Depp plays...
Ed Wood.
Yeah, Ed Wood.
Martin Landau?
Landau. That's him.
The Space 1999 guy?
Yeah, he was fantastic. He was amazing. He might be my favorite interaction. Although the Jason Mewes interaction in our booth a couple of years ago at Niagara Falls was pretty cool, too. Because he was incredibly nice. You can... See, there was a little damage done by the drugs from years ago, but really a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, well, because when we interviewed him at Fan Expo for the Todd in the Book of Pure Evil, he was absolutely, was just one of the nicest guys.
Sweetheart.
But you could tell, like...
Big comic guy, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was in our booth talking about action figures and stuff like that, so...
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I mean, most of the really, really cool moments that I've had have been with, like, comic book creators. Like, I really really loved Rob Guillory from Chew after meeting him at Niagara Falls, because I did his panel. I was at his table a bunch of times. Gail Simone was outstanding.
I love Gail Simone.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Because I hosted her panel, and she let me bring my daughter. And my daughter just sat at the front of the room with us, you know, through the whole thing. Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti, and they were outstanding, as well as Darwin Cook, who, I'll be honest, like, Darwin Cook, my interactions with him over the years, just as a fan, had always kind of given me the impression he was this grumpy old man, which I kind of think he was, and not in a bad way by any means. Yeah. But when I did that panel with them, with the three of them, he was awesome. And it's kind of got a special place for me since he passed away shortly after that, because otherwise I would have had this really kind of odd impression of him. But those two were amazing. Like, they were fantastic. The Steranko one was really, really good. I mean, the dude is so full of himself. But, you know, he's a showman. Mm-hmm. You know, when it really comes down to it. And so that's what he does. And, I mean, I kind of think the best showmen are kind of full of themselves. You know, they've got a high opinion of themselves. Otherwise, it doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, most of it's been comic guys. I mean, it's from going to cons and stuff that I became friends with some of the people that work in the industry. And I love guys like B. Clay Moore and Jeremy Hahn and Jason Latour and stuff like that. Those guys are fantastic. So
Gail Simone complimented my Marvel dress.
Nice.
She did, yeah.
Yep, she did. And I was like...
So, yeah, like I said, I've met a lot of celebrities, but nothing really stood out to me as that big moment, except for Martin Landau was a big one for me.
Yeah.
And again, I wasn't even the guy meeting him, which was always funny to me, but... but, yeah.
Now I want to watch that movie again, the Ed Wood Jr.
It's been a long time since I watched Ed Wood.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's, isn't that,
Plan 9 from Outer Space.
No, yeah, oh yeah, he directed Plan 9 from Outer Space.
He wrote it, directed it.
Wasn't it,
starred in it?
Tim Burton, who did Ed Wood? Yeah.
Oh, yes. And it was just,
with the Angora sweater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plan 9, have you ever seen Plan 9 from Outer Space?
It's considered one of the movies in the running for the worst movies of all time.
Oh, it's horrible.
There's some stuff that's happened since, like The Room, that really challenge it.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
The Room is not quite as watchable.
No, at least with Plan 9 from Outer Space, you can get a good laugh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With Bela Lugosi, who ended up
dying
before they completed it, so they got his wife's chiropractor to fill in by just covering his face with the cape all the time as Dracula.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
And
I mean, Bela Lugosi at that point was, if I'm remembering correctly, was, I think it was morphine and stuff that he was addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in bad shape at that point.
And the Elvira...
She was one of the... It wasn't Elvira.
Zombies. No, it was another...
It was one of the other ones, yeah.
But... oh, crap. It's gonna hit me one of the... Like, later on tonight, and I'll be like...
But yeah.
I can't remember her name.
You watch Ed Wood, and I'll watch From Dusk Till Dawn. Because we were talking about that earlier, and now I want to watch that again.
Right? I want to see that one, too, again. It's a... Oh, I love that movie so much.
Do you have a favorite that you've met?
Karen Allen was cool because I had a crush on her.
Yes.
Wolpat was cool.
Yep.
Yep.
He called you darling.
Yes.
I remember forcing you to go interview.
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody kind of has to give Jason a kick in the butt.
Yeah.
That's one of the trademarks of the show at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you haven't forced Jason to get a interview with somebody, then you're not a true fan of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find a lot of the, I don't want to say older, but but it's the only word that's coming to mind right now. But a lot of those stars from some of the more classic movies are really cool to talk to. I think they just seem to have these neat stories, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, a lot of them are like that. Well, I mean, talking to Mitch Markowitz about the hilarious House of Frightenstein.
Yeah.
He told so, like, such a couple great stories about Vincent Price that was just like, oh, tell us again, please. Like, I could listen to him say the same story a million times because Vincent Price, and I love Vincent Price.
I think it's kind of that way with everything, though. Like, you can listen to interviews and stuff with comic creators from now that are interesting.
Yeah.
But, man, to sit and listen to Steranko talk is something else. Like, if anybody gets that opportunity, you got to do it. It's insane. Like, how, again, he's a showman. Like, he knows what he's doing. I'll tell you right now, if you ever do a dinner with Steranko and you're expecting it to be a couple of hours, you're wrong.
Oh, I remember.
I think it was 5 hours.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's only because we had to kind of force everybody out of the restaurant because it had been closed for 3 hours.
Oh, jeez.
But the man can tell an amazing story.
Wow.
Like, listening to him talk about how he created the look of Indiana Jones and stuff is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
His stories are incredible.
Wow.
It's one of those ones where you're like, are these real? Like, or did you make this stuff up? And in the end, you don't care. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
Like I said, that guy they call, you know, this is the most interesting man alive from those Dos Equis commercials. Yeah, he's got nothing on Jim Steranko, man. Jim Steranko's the most interesting man alive. I think he's worked in every possible sort of job in the history of man.
Oh, my God.
Like, escape artist and comic book artist.
And wow.
Actor.
Escape artist?
He might have been a hitman at one point.
Oh, dear.
I don't even know. But there was so much. Oh, yeah, he was an escape artist because that's who the Mr. Miracle character is sort of based off of.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Kirby used him as the inspiration for it.
Oh, neat.
But, yeah, I think those interviews are so fantastic. I love them.
Your girlfriend's asleep.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
What?
That's the standard response I get when somebody says it.
And on that note, I would like to thank Jeff and Terry for coming to the Not Snoo Gate.
I'll answer for both of us. She's asleep.
We'll come up with a yeah.
If you get a chance,
I don't know what to call it.
If you get a chance, make sure you haul ass down to Sketchbook Comics.
Yes.
For your comic book fix in
yes.
the Niagara region.
Yep.
Always a good time.
Always.
But if you do haul ass down, make sure you stop before you hit the brick, like those stone things at the top of the parking spots. Because if you don't, your car gets hung up. I've seen it happen.
Yeah, happened to my car at Windsor. By the bumper being held on with zip ties right now. Yay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the one I saw, the guy was his front wheels were over it, and the whole car was kind of rocking on the concrete post.
Ooh, that's not good.
Barrier, whatever you want to call it. It did keep him from going through the front window of 905 Eats. So.
Oh, jeez.
That's a very
that's
good
important.
Thing.
That's,
yes, very
that's
important.
That's their purpose.
Yes.
All right, so thanks, guys, for coming by.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time on the Geekly Session.
Woo.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.